Welcome to the Good Vibes Podcast with Clark Impastato and Ryan G.
We almost fucked it up. We started having a good banter about
socks,
winter wear, socks, kind of a dad conversation, right?
Dude, you know, the funny thing is, like, in your 20s, you cared so much on how you looked when you left the house. I don't give a shit.
No, it's comfort. Comfort. Yeah. If we got to run to, like, the store, like Safeway, to buy some Snickies for movie night, I'll just straight pajamas.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
Just who cares? I don't care. Slippers. Like,
I went out the door a couple days ago and I came back and my wife was like, seriously? I'm like, what? She's like, look down. I didn't even know I put on two different shoes.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, dude, that's a fashion thing, dude. That's like shit Kanye does, bro. That's high fashion.
Oh, well, okay. Maybe I was getting looks in the good way instead of being like, dude, that guy's a doofus.
Look at that guy's hip, man. He's in the latest fashion. Look at that. Well, I used to do that as a skateboarder with my Chuck Taylors.
Yeah, that's true. Back
so
in the
like
day
I'd buy like a red and a blue pair, then I just switch them out, or black and orange and switch them out. And so, yeah, that's a thing.
I'll tell you, man, it's always on my stocking lift. I always like a nice pair of those, what are the smart wool socks? You know what I mean? Because those are just warm in boots and everything, man. I dig them. And that's weird. As a 40-year-old, man, I never thought I'd be like, oh, man, I really want socks.
Yeah. Yeah, the older you get stoked about weird shit.
Yeah, ammo and socks, if anyone's listening.
Yeah. Got to be comfortable while you're dropping fools, you know?
But by the way, you know, I have something that grinds my gears and I just have to get off my chest. I know we're not going to talk about it, okay? But it drives me crazy that Taylor Swift was able to get the Department of Justice or the people in the powers that be to start looking at Ticketmaster for antitrust.
Oh, I heard something about that. Yeah.
Ticketmaster is the problem, not Google, Facebook, or TikTok with China.
Ticketmaster,
It's Taylor Swift's concert. You can't get tickets.
That's crazy. Yeah, the FBI's probably all over that.
I mean, honestly, what the fuck is wrong with us?
Our priorities are so weird. It's almost like I feel like I'm stuck in a bad episode of The Twilight Zone, but it's kind of like a fucked up comedy version of it.
It is.
Almost as if like the TV show Three's Company. But that's our country. Like, it's just, it doesn't make sense. Like,
Jack
what's
Tripper.
Going on? Yeah. Oh, dude, come and knock on my door. That is my all time favorite show of all times. It beats Chips. It beats Knight Rider. I love that show for some reason, dude. I don't know why.
I was always cheering for him. Like, I was hoping he was going to pull the threesome off. I mean,
he tried. God bless his little heart. He tried. He just kept getting cock blocked by Larry and Mr. Roper. And
I know. He was like the underdog.
Remember the Regal Beagle? That was their little pub they'd go to. I think there's actually a Regal Beagle, like, in that area, I think.
I went down.
There should be. We should open one.
I said this
one
to you before, but my cousin, his roommate, was Jack Tripper's son. I forgot his name in real life, and I feel bad for saying that.
John Ritter.
John Ritter's son was my cousin's roommate in college.
No. Oh, yeah. My God, dude.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That's
like,
pretty
dude,
cool.
Can we drunk dial your dad?
Well, I think at the time when he was in college, unfortunately, he passed, right?
So, oh, yeah. He died young, a heart attack,
did.
I think,
he did.
Man.
Yeah,
it was like a post-surgery thing, too, I think.
I don't remember.
I can't remember the details, but I was bummed. Like, oh, he just seemed like a nice dude, you know?
His last movie was Bad Santa, and we're around that season now, you know, getting into the holiday movies.
That.
Yeah, dude. He was the store manager. I love that. But
is that the one with Billy Bob as the Bad Santa?
Oh, dude, I love that one. You know, but speaking of the holidays, that's what we kind of want to talk about. I mean, next week we'll talk Thanksgiving, but you know, we're on the cusp here. You know, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving dinner with the family. It always makes for interesting and tough conversations, especially with how polarized and divided we are. But here's the good news: what Clark and I were talking about this week, we don't hate each other. Okay, it's really just the constant agenda is being pushed on us because they want us divided. And we want to talk about today about on how this divide continues to plague our country and the need. We really need to find a way to get together because this silo shit is we're working into their agenda, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You and I have been talking quite a bit about this lately on our daily chats. And it's, you know, I guess at some level there's always been groups of people here and there. Like, I get it, you know, we're tribal people, but that doesn't mean that you can't love other tribes. You know what I mean? Like, I get it, you know, you're going to hang out with like-minded people. And one of the things that I learned and was excited about early on in my Navy travels was I loved other cultures.
Yeah.
I loved it. I looked forward to it and all these little places the ship would stop. And like, I went as indigenous as possible, as long as, you know, as far as my budget would go, which wasn't much as an A3, but you know what I mean? Like, I embraced, I think we've gotten away from appreciating each other's differences, yes, maybe even teasing each other a little bit, like a little good horseplay about it. It's just fun. We've gotten to the point where we just feel like we have to force everyone to think the way we do, look the way we do, act the way we do. A lot of that is because of corporatism, you know, certain brands they push and certain things they make look cool. But I want to pull back a few more layers than just the obvious layers. And you and I have been talking quite a bit about that. And I really, you know, we're supposed to be the United States of America, not the divided states of America. And with, as obvious, social media, the media, politicians, they really do pit us against each other and keep putting us in groups. And so, like I said, outside of the obvious things that I just mentioned, I really want to dive a little deeper in that, because you and I were just even chatting today. You were talking to a fellow that has a little bit different political beliefs.
Yeah.
But he's an awesome dude, and you didn't even know for years. Like, you know what I mean? And that's how you and I grew up, is like, no one even knew or really cared. That's just, you know what I mean? Like, I think most of us want the same thing. And then, of course, there's some, you know, extreme goofballs on either side. But I think most Americans are tired of it. They just want to get the fuck along. And so I think that's kind of what we want to, like, how do we kind of come back together?
Yes.
And just do what we want to do. I really believe that 80% of America wants the same thing. And I think there's just kind of the 10% on each side, the fringe guys. But those knuckleheads have always been around. They've just been largely ignored, you know?
No, exactly. And I think what bothers me here is, you know, these are old communism tactics to divide and classify people, to focus on each other as the problem versus the real problem, right? The real problem, you know, 9 out of 10 times could be your politically elected leaders. Don't focus on us, right? Yeah, you guys need to fight with each other. And mm-hmm. I think that could potentially, going forward in the future, be the common ground, is we need to start, you know, stop pointing the finger at each other and start being like, wait a second here. We got to start focusing on you guys. And, you know, if people would just take a breath and put on their common sense hat, it's so obvious. You know, this is classic divide and conquer tactics. And you tend to see divide and conquer tactics by corrupt power structures, right? Because they reward people and they don't care about the harm they inflict on others. And we've seen this where they don't care in the harm that they inflict. We're seeing this with not enforcing laws or supporting police officers. We're seeing this in education. Look at this stupid FTX Ponzi. So it's okay to screw people's life savings and pension funds because you're a piece of shit. That's this type of evil. But really, the divide and conquer is all about to disable humanity, right? By supporting ideologies of a negative belief system. They put that belief system in, and by putting negative belief systems in, that causes all this rift. So it's intentional. And if you start peeling the onion back, that's what's like, we got to wake up, be like, we got to start asking the question why, right?
Well, we got to realize we're getting played.
You know, 100%.
We're playing their game. And I think some of these elites from all these different, I mean, let's put them in groups. You know, you have the media elite, big tech elite, political elite, the educational system elite, all these snooty motherfuckers is what I call them. There's the caveman word for it. They think we're stupid. I think a lot of them think we're fucking stupid. And I don't think that we're stupid. I think that a lot of Americans are busy. They don't have a lot of time to dig into topics. And so, you know, like when CNN first came on board, it was a great source. It was 24 hours. So if you were like a night shift person, or, you know, there's always, you could tune in and get a synopsis of what's going on in the country, around the world. But back then it was pretty apolitical. I mean, I was young. I was in high school when CNN was getting off the runway. So maybe it was political. I just didn't notice, but it didn't seem to be that.
No, way. I would agree. It was apolitical. I would agree.
Yeah.
When it started.
It wasn't until, you know, well, I haven't really paid attention until recently anyway, so maybe for a while it's been political, but I understand why people are spoon-fed narratives, because they don't have time, they have families, they have jobs, whatever it is. But I do think, as dumb as they think we are, we still have the power. There's 330 million of us, and there's really, if you look at the big picture, a few thousand of these elite type folks, you know what I mean? The billionaires and the politicians and the media elites, the CEOs. But there's, in America, about 330 million of us. The power is ours. As soon as we choose not to play their game, it's over. The only reason why, let's say, CNN or Fox exists is because people watch it. The only reason why Zuckerberg's rich is because we use his product.
Yeah.
We've touched on this before. If we just used other platforms, other sources, stopped using things or limited it, you know, I mean, I'm probably less than an hour a day on social media. And as you know, you follow my account, it's usually just silly shit. The other day, my daughter and I were rolling around at Jets and I wanted to post that. It was kind of cute. Yeah, it was fun, you know, fun, happy stuff. I mean, you can use these platforms to be fun and playful and show family and and bonding and all that if you choose to. There's also bimbos and, you know, middle-aged men running around with their shirts. I mean, it's pick your poison, right?
Yeah.
You know, social media can be a good experience. I follow, you know, a lot of like the Buddhist wisdom pages. There's a couple monks that I like to follow that talk about cool shit. And so, you know, make it what you will, but the power is still ours. And I don't think division's a weird thing. I think division's a negative thing, but I understand we are conditioned to be tribal. I mean, just think about your high school 100%. And the rival high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's a healthy way to do that. There's a competition that comes from that. There's still respect for the other tribe. But right now with division, they're pitting us against each other. And I don't like that. And I'd be willing to bet 80% of Americans don't like that.
That's a fact. You know, I think that we are waking up with this. And it's, unfortunately, I don't think this is just isolated here to the States. I think this is kind of going on globally. I mean, look what's going on in Brazil. We've seen what's happening in Australia. We've seen things going on in the UK, and I could keep going and going. You know, I think what people need to do is, you know, if you want to wear a common sense hat, is you just need to ask yourself, is our leaders trying to build up the spirit of, you know, your fellow man? Or are they trying to pin us against each other? And if the answer is pin us against each other, again, this is classic, you know, divide and rule scenarios. So I kind of looked up some of this stuff and I found it very interesting, because there's like three core pillars if you want it to divide and rule that's been used throughout history. So if you're just a piece of shit ruler, you basically do these three things. And this is what I want our listeners or people to start asking themselves. Is this being deployed? And it could be deployed locally, statewide, nationally, or internationally. But, you know, one, encouraging division and chaos among the opposing groups to prevent the formation of a strong alliances and unification.
Yeah, that's what they're afraid of, is a unifying group of people.
So that's pillar one. Interesting. Pillar two, promoting and heavily rewarding those people that are willing to cooperate.
Sound familiar? Yeah.
Sounds familiar. I mean, again, you could think also on how this applies back in history. Look on how Rome went down, right? So,
yeah.
Fostering distrust, hostility, and hatred to incite violence.
Well, dude, I'm glad you said that, because there's something that is now in place in America, I'm convinced of, that no matter who wins a presidential election, from now on, the other side's going to claim the winning side cheated.
Sure.
Doesn't matter. Democrat, Republican, they're going to be like, oh my God, you know what I mean? And so that is a tactic. I mean, absolutely. We don't trust
the
election
distrust.
Systems. And as soon as a Republican wins, and the Democrats will say, and they've already said it in the past. They said, you know, the 2000 was rigged when Bush won. They said 2016 was won because of this and that. And you know what I mean? So, but it's gotten more amped up, right? Because there was some shady shit in 2020. 2024, I know no matter who wins, now you're pissing off, you know, half the country. And I think we need to be smarter than that. We need to see that we're being played. And I was thinking of something the other day. I wanted to run by you. I was thinking, you know, have things really changed? So leadership throughout history, throughout history, right? So the old forms of governments, I mean, I guess way back in the day might be like religious leaders and stuff. But as far as Western cultures, kings and emperors, right? That was kind of the way of doing things.
Yeah.
And then in America, we created this system that I think our forefathers were genuine about. But then I thought, you know what? Who's really eligible for these super high offices? Now, it's designed on paper for the common man, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's only three requirements to be president, but what's the reality of it? You got to have a shit ton of money and a shit ton of connections, which is the elites. So have we created this mirage of voting and like, well, how do we get the people to feel like they're a part of it? Let's trick these idiots. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
I don't know if it goes that deep, but I thought people used to get pissed at kings because either you're born into that family or you're not. You're just like a peasant, a commoner,
right?
Or you're born into nobility or you're born into royalty. So there's not a lot of control. And I think throughout history, the peasants or the commoners would get pissed off and sometimes topple that shit and wipe out the whole family. So maybe in modern governments, they're like, well, hey, if we play this game of elections, they feel like they're a part of it.
Right.
But are we really a part of it? None of us are part of these educational elites, political elites, media elites. Like, it is a very small, what did George Carlin say? It's a party and you ain't invited, or you know what I'm saying? There's this game that's going on.
Well, that's interesting.
Is it a falsehood?
You know say that I mean? Because it's like, sometimes I feel like it's like, you could see the tact of like, okay, throw him a bone and then—
Yeah, pacify him. Make him feel like, hey, here you go. You're a part of this.
Ignorant people will be like, yay, we won. It's just like, no, guys. It's like, look at this hand. Don't look at this other one. And for like I just talked about, joking around at the beginning of this episode, again, the Ticketmaster thing with Taylor Swift, okay, that you're going to investigate for antitrust. That.
Yeah.
And then people are like, yay, the government's doing something, and yes, we're all riled up. Big tech,
what about our billions? Our billions that have gone to Ukraine. Oh, don't worry.
No,
about that.
Don't look at that. We'll throw them a bone. It'll be
Ticketmaster.
It'll be over Taylor Swift's tickets, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just look at the fiasco at Paul Pelosi's house. How much media attention that caught? I'm like, I could give a fuck, dude. I really don't care.
Yeah, honestly.
I don't like that a human being got hurt. I'm sad he got a skull fracture, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't give a fuck. I'm more interested in things that directly affect us, like.
Like $7
eggs. Inflation. Yeah, these billions of dollars, maybe some Asian porn. I mean, there's other priorities I got. Yeah.
Honestly.
But yeah, it's these little distractions that just conveniently pop up that we keep falling for, and they really think we're stupid. The thing I like about technology, you and I often highlight kind of the downside of it. The good side of it is there's other ways to get information, i.e. what we're talking about, and our listeners kind of chewing on things, and a lot of them appreciate our perspective because we're just two dudes figuring shit out. We're not Tucker Carlson or Dan Bongino. We're not super politically driven. We just have our beliefs. We don't try to push them on anybody. In fact, that's the whole purpose of this episode. We need to turn these divided states into these united states and welcome not just a diversity of appearance, but a diversity of opinions, which has been kind of a theme between me and you lately. You know what I mean? Since we talked to those awesome rock star college dudes, it kind of woke me up to like, that's true.
Yes.
You know, and we need to appreciate that. And I got a glimpse of that in the military. You know, I talked about that before. I love that, that when we were overseas, we were just Americans. That's all that mattered. You know what I mean? And so,
you're bringing up, again, this is, you know, here's an idea. Why, instead of Team Red or Team Blue, let's just be Team USA again, right?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm tired
of it. Why do we have to have two powerful political parties? It's already this set up tug of war system. Imagine if they said, Clark, how would you solve this? And I really don't know shit about politics, but sometimes that's the best way to come up with ideas. I just see it. Why don't we just have these offices in place like we do, and then people run for them and you just vote for that person? Like, why do you even have to be associated with a political party? Like, let's just say, keep it simple, the president. So let's just say you have a national every 4 years, and whoever wants to run for president, you just narrow it down, maybe per state, right? So you eventually narrow it down to one dude per state. So you have 50 people, And then maybe the state is into regions, and you know, like, kind of like a bracket for like the fucking Super Bowl.
It sounds
you know
like the NCAA tournament. I was like, well, that's good.
That's how you narrow it down, right? So you battle it out in your own state, and you say, all right, this is our guy or gal. And then you have maybe the country's cut in half, and then you got your East Coast, West Coast. Boom! It comes down to those two, dude. So maybe in each half you have two regions, just like a sports bracket.
Yeah.
And you battle it out until there's fucking two. And it doesn't matter who they fucking are. They're there because they're the best person. They talk the most shit. They're the smartest. Well, just like athletics. Who wins the Super Bowl? The best team that season.
Yeah.
So who makes you the start most out money? In this bracket. Well, yeah. You start out right. in this bracket. Who chalks up more wins?
Yeah.
That's the way it should go down. And it doesn't. These political affiliations are fucking stupid. It's yesterday's way of doing business, and quite frankly, I think it's destroying our country. This red shirt, blue shirt bullshit. But
it really bothers me because are we really this ignorant and stupid? I mean, again, divide the population or mm-hmm. you know, factions of people with shared interest or common goals who might be able to oppose their rule or challenge their power, and they know that.
That's what they're scared of. When we come together and we form up outside the gates and say we demand this, they're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I don't want to get into the slippery slope of January 6th, but, you know, I think that was a little bit eye opening just because they saw people coming together.
It unified, scared them.
And
it scared them.
It did scare them. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't people going in there and acting like idiots and assholes. So that's fine. Okay. What really scared them is they saw people come together for one reason, and it was for the American way. And that's what really scared. And now
that scared. And it was at their doorstep.
But
it wasn't in Denver or L.A. or exactly. Austin, or where it was in fucking D.C. Anytime there are those big, marches in D.C., it sends a message.
Well, look at it again. How did they deflate that? Like, so I'm going to classify you. You guys are all, you know,
they criminalized it ASAP.
You're domestic terrorist or you're, you know, this extreme, blah, blah, blah. So I'm classifying you. Then I'm going to scare the shit out of you because we're locking people up for the essence
they don't want
of basically
that to happen.
Criminal trespassing, right?
Dude, speaking of that, dude, sorry to interrupt, but before I forget, I just downloaded a new book that was recommended. I want to see who it's by. January 6th, oddly enough, by Julie Kelly.
Oh, I've seen that dude. He's been speaking.
I just started listening to it.
I want to listen to it, too, because the thing is...
Well, like I want to know, what's the data? Give me the info from it. I only know what we've been shown from the news. I want to know exactly what happened and you know what I mean? Like, I'm like you. I just want to look at the information and form an opinion about it.
But going back to the three pillars, you know, if by locking people up with crazy sentences, you know, I'm scaring the shit out of you, but then I'm rewarding the people that basically did not participate or maybe helped in a certain way, things like that. And that's what's really weird. I think we need to look at, again, it's just keep constantly asking the question why. You know, the media is 100% guilty, and I don't even care what station it is.
Well, they're spreading fear, dude.
Well, they're trying to politically polarize this country, and they've been successful. So as you said earlier, CNN, and again, I'm going off memories, maybe not fact, but you know, when CNN came out as the first 24 hours news station, they had different talking heads. So you had the liberal talking heads, you had the conservative. Now, what happened is, my guess is, certain shows had certain ratings, and someone light bulb went, you know, wait a second. What if we just started a station and just had these talking
heads?
Well,
and money started coming in from a direction, too.
So we'll take all these left talking heads, and we're going to have the station. We'll take all
which
the
right.
Which
is a shame. Why do we even have liberal and conservative commentators on the news? You know,
you remember Hannity and Combs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
they had it balanced, yeah.
That was the conservative and liberal side. Oh. They were on one show, and, you know, it was kind of interesting.
But what happened to like Steve Harvey or whoever these other personalities were that just told you these fascinating stories? And it was just information. Like, you know,
you and I have talked about this
before. Like, why do we have liberal and conservative judges? Why don't we just have judges? Like, that's weird to me.
That is, again, why?
Liberal and conservative news reporters. Well, why is politics involved in the news, in the justice system?
That's what's so scary. I mean, think about someone. So you're telling me someone who has the power to basically lay down the law and sentence people potentially brings their social issues.
Yeah,
into
negative,
it.
Bro. Just look at the facts. Why?
But no, that's a good point. Think about January 6th. It's like, okay, criminal trespassing. It doesn't carry a sentence of 5 to 10 years.
No, it doesn't. Right? You know, if you're on video breaking something and they get you for trespassing, criminal damage, or if they get you on video, whatever. And I don't even know the rules. Are you allowed in the Capitol building? Certain parts of it, maybe when they're in session, you're not allowed. No. I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
But was it even trespassing? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe certain parts of the White House are open to the public, but certain parts aren't. So those are things we don't know as the common American. And if there was a crime committed, then yes, charge them appropriately. But they're all, from what I know, misdemeanor offenses.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And
they're like classified as domestic terrorists. So now they can be held indefinitely with no rights. And that terminology is dangerous. No American should be okay with that.
No. And I think what saddens me now is because, you know, you have the right, the left, and they're all yelling. And it's not just the right left. It could be different groups, you know, BLM and others. You know, this is my America. This is my America. This is my America. And they keep organizing and yelling, and they're trying to define what their America is. But we forgot the fact that America is owned by no one person or group. It's intended to be we the people. That's what we got to get back to.
It's our America. Yes. All of us.
Not this, you know, it has to be this way because I'm right, and it has to be this way because I'm left, and it has to be this way because I'm gay, and I have to be this way because I'm of this race or religion. No.
Mm-mm. It's all of ours, man. The theory of it is to truly be a melting pot, and you can't melt things that are placed into groups. Like you said, these silos, and we have to break those down, especially for our younger generation. You know, people our age, we remember America that wasn't like that. I mean, maybe certain things on papers, you know, people voted a certain way or had certain blue, whatever it is. But when we congregated, like we've talked about many times before, I never knew the political leanings of any of my teachers or professors.
I could honestly say that.
Which is good. Well, why should you? I mean, they have every right to vote how they want. And maybe there's in certain classes some discussions about, you know, how the government's set up, or I get all that. But now it's cult-like ideologies that are being thrown around through the media and education system and even in the workplace. And as Americans, we should all pull back. One of my favorite people at work is a classical Democrat, my buddy Jason. We have great conversations.
Yeah, you always have.
But we're just both dudes, construction dudes, America. Well, I lightly call myself a construction dude. I'm a safety guy.
So. Yeah, come on.
I think I'm kind of the retarded cousin. Like, they've adopted me. Like, you're one of us, bro. You're all right, man. Hey, put this job sticker on your heart. Out. You're good. You know, I tread softly. I stay in my lane. But, you know, I at least dress up like a construction worker. So when I get gas, people think, oh, look at that guy. He's a hardworking guy. Sorry, get off on a tangent. But
I'm the safety
but
dude.
We all get along. Like, remember in the height of the division of the 2020 riots and all these different groups clashing and stuff. But then we've talked about this. I would go to the grocery store. Everyone's chill. The gym, everyone's chill. Right. Go to my work. But
what's the media spotlighting on?
Oh, they're God, spotlighting the whole country. There's a civil war going on. Oh, my God. That's what we need to. We can't be duped as the American people. We have to realize, no, dude, most of us, and I'm guessing at 80%, I would say more, just want the same thing, dude.
I agree, but it's also disturbing too on how not just the media with the divide, but you know, I want to talk a minute here about there is a lot of talk of alternative communities and parallel economies, but you know, do we really want two different United States?
No, I don't.
I mean, it's upsetting here. I mean, if we have to do that, I get it. But are we at that point? I mean, it's just sad to hear people talk about it. But I guess it's even sadder where you're canceling businesses, you're taking away their means for transactions, you know, pulling voices down, pulling accounts down like yours. Yeah. And I get why people are talking like this. But how
is
about
it healthy?
Yeah, but
I don't think so.
But that's, again, trying to divide us more. That they win.
It does. For example, when I left Instagram for a while and I went to Truth Social, it wasn't fun. It's a bunch of angry right people. And I'm like, okay, great. What else do you got? Can I see some guitar videos? Can I see some nature videos? You know what I mean? Can I see some yoga pants, dude? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No butt cheeks or nothing.
Q hasn't told you to buy yoga pants.
Dude, right? Yeah, exactly. Right. That's why I had to come back to Instagram. I'm like, dude, the Truth Social is not fun. Yeah. Because it's a parallel economy, exactly. And it's meant to balance out, you know, the right-wing ideologies of these other platforms. And it's like, dude, I liked when we were all on Instagram and Facebook and it wasn't political. That was fun.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's it's amazing on how within like 6 years.
This 2016 division, is when it changed because Hillary Clinton blamed Facebook for her loss and Zuckerberg shit his pants. And then, of course, he owns fucking Instagram and now the whole Meta bullshit or whatever. So it was that accusation that shifted it. And it's just a shame. That's why, like, Elon bought Twitter. And I like, well, I'll get a Twitter account because at least Twitter has everybody. Instagram has everybody, but I'm shadow banned. So it's like, it kind of sucks. But
well, Twitter was the town square. But unfortunately, what they did is they said, listen, you guys aren't allowed to speak as conservative in this town square. So then it did was amplify one voice. So what I'm interested in, I'm really hoping the moderates of each side, be it conservative or liberals, everyone could get together and have a healthy conversation.
Yeah, what I mean, this is bullshit. Yeah.
Just respect. Just respect the opinion.
Let's knock off all the shit. Let's just get along and do this. Now, what I don't like, though, is Elon's already acting a little weird. He had a poll, a survey. Should I bring Trump's account back? And he did because it was like, whatever, 54.
He's having fun.
I know. But what I'm saying is free speech isn't, you know, a debatable let's vote on it thing. Like it should have just been Trump's account's being reinstated. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like that he put it up. Now, I'm sure he's kind of goofing, but what if it went the other way? And he's like, well, the people have spoken. Dude, free speech is free speech.
You're right.
It could have backfired.
Yeah.
And I don't think free speech is up for a vote. And I know he's probably being playful with that, but I don't like it because free speech is not up for a vote.
Well, he's got to keep in mind that, you know, just prior to him, some dude had his finger on a button saying no or yes to people. Yeah. He now has that button. So, you know, he's got to be careful of where, again, it's either we the people on Twitter, or it's just going to be for the.
Well, that's what I mean. Is it a new guy with his finger on the button? You know what I mean? It's I hope we'll he does the right thing. He's saying the right things, but already that vote thing, my first thought was, you know, the First Amendment is not a voting.
I hope he was goofing.
I think he is because he has that kind of personality, but it still sends out the wrong message.
It does because it's saying, look, I have this button. I could switch it on or off, right? I could bring you back.
And he's also kind of pissing off half of Twitter now, right? Instead of just saying, look, everyone has a voice on here as long as it's not fucking criminal.
Right. Or ill intentions. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you don't want like some type of, you know, fucking ISIS fucking account or whatever. I mean, obviously.
Why? They kept Ayatollah, all these other people.
I know.
So give me a break.
I know. Yeah. Actual criminal activity related accounts.
Yes.
And then they ban a sitting U.S. president, which is completely wrong.
Again, divide. You know, I feel our elected officials.
Even if it was Joe Biden, bro, I would say no. He's the president right now. Dude, you can't just kick him off a platform.
I mean,
whether I like it or not, I have to respect the office, and whether I think he was installed or not, the fact is he's sitting in that chair right now, and there is a certain respect that I'll give that office, just like in the military. You don't have to respect the man, but you have to respect the rank.
Well, there
is their saying, you know, and I get that, but I'm still like, I respect the individual as well.
I think it's very much, I mean, our podcast here, I mean, again, we use humor and stuff in stories and to express our opinions, but that's what it is. It's an opinion. You don't have to agree with us.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's fine. We might not necessarily agree with you, but at the end of the day, I guarantee you, you and I could sit down and have a beer with anyone because it's an opinion. I don't hate.
Want a different opinion. I don't want to sit down and necessarily break bread with like-minded people and get stuck
boring,
in this vacuum.
Dude. Yeah.
That's why I have a lot of great conversations with my Democrat buddy, Jason. It's fun. It's awesome. And it's such a different perspective. There's a lot of times I'm like, dude, that makes sense. I like that.
Oh, but that's what's so cool when you can sit down and be civil and you have respect for each other because you can
learn
have a good conversation.
From each other. Yeah.
Right. So he's not attacking you for being like, I can't believe you voted for Trump. He doesn't even care. It's just like, okay.
Well, he'll say stuff like he wants to pick my brain. Like, well, why did you vote for Trump? And I'll tell him. He's like, oh, those are all good things.
But
like we have these conversations, which if I just had conversations with other Navy SEALs, we just figure out how to break shit and fuck shit and eat shit. You know what I'm saying? Like these are boring conversations. I love, well, you and I, we have similarities, we have differences, and I love all of it. We have very few differences, to be honest. But I mean, we come from different worlds. You come from the business side. I come from the military law enforcement side.
Right.
But I find that refreshing. That's why I'm glad we're co-hosts for each other, because if it was two business guys, there's a ceiling on that. If there's two military guys, there's a low ceiling on that. We have a variety of, you know, different imaginations that come together. Awesome, you know?
Yeah, and some of this, I think, goes back to just basic conversations 101. And maybe we've lost some of our way with that because of, obviously, the explosion of digital and stuff like this we've talked in the past. But here's the thing. Rule one, when I have a conversation with you or anyone, I'm not trying to convince you. Mm-hmm. There's no convincing, because convincing someone is, that's debating, right? You're trying to get them to change their thought on a subject, okay? Having a healthy conversation is, let me express myself, let me express my opinion. You're going to express your opinion, might agree, might not, but who cares? You laugh, you chuckle.
Great conversation.
Well, like you said, you'll talk to Jason and he'll be like, well, I didn't think of that. Or you might say, I didn't think of that.
And listen to each other. It's not, because if you're trying to convince somebody, you're not even listening to what they're saying. You know what I mean? You're already are thinking about what you're going to say to counter what they're saying.
Well, that's the problem that we're at now, because there's, you know, if MAGA or Trump or you put any of these words in or these silos, and right away, people get red in the face. Ears are open. I'm sorry. The ears are closed. The mouth is wide open, yelling, screaming at the top of the lungs. And again, I don't care if you're left or right. We both have people screaming at the top of their lungs. Open your ears, man. Let's start to shut our mouth and let's start to listen to each other. And the problem is, I feel our elected officials are losing one of humanity's greatest tools, and that's compromise. You know, let's figure out what's good for America. Let's figure out what's good for the world. But unfortunately, this hypocrisy runs rampant in politics today, where they're not looking out what's best for the country, let alone the world.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Well, no, their interest is in themselves. You know, how do they maintain their power?
Get reelected.
Well, that's what made me kind of relate back to kings, emperors, prime ministers, parliaments. Like, what is the basic function of something or someone in control? It's to maintain power, maintain control, and grow that power, grow that control, and fund it. I don't care what you call it. Prime minister, parliament, emperor, whatever. Fuck it. It's the game is the same. And so I thought, well, was this democracy thing created by the Greeks or whatever, was it really meant to just trick the people into believing that they're a part of it? Because in the past, they studied governments like, well, if the emperor is too much of a dick, they're just going to fucking run down the fucking castle and kill the whole family. How do we appease the idiots? You know, well, if they feel like they're voting. So, I mean, imagine this. Imagine if we're at the dinner table and there's 20 friends and we're all sitting there just chilling and we're going to elect the president of this new friend group. Hmm. And Clark comes in and says, all right, guys, write down your pick on a piece of paper, fold it in half, and I'm going to walk around with this hat, put these votes in this hat. I'm going to go in the other room and count them up. Then I come out of that room and say, Ryan won.
Right.
Well, how the fuck do we know? Show me those pieces of paper. You never do. So how do you know if Clark's being honest?
Yep.
Ryan won. And dude, maybe it was fucking Paul, the neighbor, or Billy, the fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I don't like about this kind of show me the money, dude. I want to see. Like, I've always, even as a kid, was suspicious. Like, well, how do we know where our vote goes? Like, I'm not an election denier, but just the voting thing. Like, the example I gave, when I take my little hat with all these pieces of paper and I go into the next room, it's a very small scale down example, but that's just on a national scale, a global scale, other countries. You know, did the Greeks create this shit to trick us retarded common folks?
Well, I think what you're saying too is there's some of these things, and again, let's just say 80%, 85%, maybe 90% of us, you know, that are, let's just say, we want what's best for this country and let alone the world, is we tend to agree on a lot of things. And I, you know, I talk to my friends on the left, and everyone wants to put this voting nonsense behind us. You know, it's actually to probably just to keep us arguing and divided and debating. You know, it could, guess what? This is not hard to solve. It's
when
not.
The shoe's on the other foot, the other side's going to be just as upset. All of us need to know that it's a fair fight.
Well,
and where the cards fall, I think everyone can digest that. But even like as time goes on, for example, if Democrats just won the White House for the next 20 years, something's going to happen. If Republicans just won the White House for the next 20, you know what I mean? Like, that's suspicious. Yeah. Like, huh? No one is down, I believe, for their team cheating.
No.
Because at some point that shoe's going to be on the other foot, and then it's not fair all of a sudden. I think at some point they're going to demand nationwide, and we have the technologies to do it. We want to know for sure. I don't care who wins and loses. I just want to make sure it's a fair fight. No one fucking cheated. And that's in anything, dude. That's in a marriage, yeah, a friendship, a sporting event, business dealings. We have to have that same honesty. I mean, if you went to your bank and felt like they were cheating you out of money, would you bank with them anymore? If I thought you were somehow cheating me out of something related to our friendship, would we remain friends? No. So why do we accept these shady ass fucking elections, which everyone has always been like, oh, there's always some fraud. Why? What about if there was some fraud at your bank? Would you know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
Why is it acceptable in this one part of society? Well, there's always some weird shit going on at the dentist. I don't know. My zipper ends up going down after I'm knocked out. I'm like, it's kind of weird, ooh, but I still go there.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how what the dentist looks like, you know?
Yeah. How is that? How is he doing?
He's very handsome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Actually, my dentist, I got two dentists real quick. One looks like Will Ferrell. The other looks like Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath. So if though one of those two want to molest me, I'm cool with it, dude, because they look like famous people.
Sweet Buddy Elf.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
That's, oh gosh. Oh, we could go so many different directions here. but getting back to what you're saying is, I think a lot of the division, there's an underlying thing that we're not talking about enough. And I think we're just aggravated, like you said, at some of these systems and politicians. And again, they would rather have us fight instead of having the conversation, be like, hey, how do we fix voting? How do we fix the laws that are purposely being ignored? Because we want to live in a civilized and just society, you know? But we have to keep in mind, and this is what we forget as people is, you know, regardless of the party in power, I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican, but, you know, Article 1 of the Constitution basically grants legislative power to Congress, right? Mm-hmm. The Constitution assigns the executive the duty to enforce the law. And Article 2, Section 3 requires that the president shall take care that law be faithfully executed. So wait a second. The president takes an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. Why do you think we're so aggravated? Because they're not even enacting and doing their jobs of this duty to basically enforce the laws of the land.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, they do, but it seems to be one-sided. The laws of the land seem to go against one side of the country. And that's
agenda-based.
Whether it's true or not, that's the feeling of it. That's the perception right now, especially with the conservative community. Conservatives feel like they're being targeted. And there's a ton of examples as to why that is. No American should be okay with that. If the shoe was on the other foot and it seemed like Democrats were being targeted, I would not be okay with that. I'm not good for any group to be targeted. I thought as modern people, we were past that, whether it's Jews, Blacks, Asians back in the day building railroads, whatever weird history we've had. I'm not okay with any one group being targeted just because they're members of that group.
Well, also, I think we're so far apart where, you know, keep in mind that, you know, Congress basically is charged to write the laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Senate then, you know, reviews them, and then it goes to the president to sign them in. Everyone's so rogue now. It's like, you know, they're forgetting that they're representing the people. They're supposed to be writing laws to help the people move forward. Now it's all based on their agendas. That's why nothing's getting done in government. And now, you know, it's gone out of control with executive orders. So completely bypass our process of representing the people, because executive 100%. Order does not represent the people. And this is the problem. This is why it's run amok, because we feel that we're getting gypped as the people. We're losing our power, our voice, and all this stuff. And we just see it keep going to crap. But like I said, it says right there clearly in the Constitution, the duties of Congress, the duty of the president, and that's where we need to start unifying as one. And again, I don't care, left, right, Republican, Democrat, that's where we need to be unified. Be like, guys, if we don't have these guys who represent us respect, enforce the policy and laws of the Constitution, the law of this land, it's going to go to crap. It's going to be anarchy.
Well, and they need to reflect the will of their constituents, the will of the people. So even as an elected official, if you're a congressman and you believe a certain way in a certain topic, but that's not how your constituents feel,
that's the
problem. Put yourself in check, bro.
You're there
to represent us. You're an elected representative.
Yep.
So if I'm a congressman and whatever district I represent feels very strongly about this topic, but I disagree, it's still my job to reflect the will of the people I represent, and they have forgotten that.
No, it is, and it's upsetting too, because again, we see and how there's this, here we go again, we have a new Congress that's being controlled by the Republican Party, and again, good old Mitch McConnell's going to be running it, but then you saw people being like, wait a second, we don't want this, but of course, Mitch is owed so many favors, and he's got so
he's already bought and paid for again. It. Yeah, the old guard, it's the same bullshit. That's why I'm like, this is so...
It's silly
the way it's organized. It's really honestly, no different than some royal family. You know, we have our own, you know,
I don't lords understand. And it bothers me that they get to pick who the Speaker of the House is. Because again, it's all based on you owe me one or I will owe you one in the future. It's a game, right? Why couldn't we do it where, you know, when it's up, Congress is up and we're voting, you know, here are the people that are, if they do win, the House, here are the people that are interested in being Speaker, and us the people be like, you know what, we want this guy as a Speaker. So if the Democrats win, the people has said who they want the Speaker, if the Republicans
that's what I
win,
mean, like it's an office. In fact, we don't even get to pick our Vice President. So you got to think about this. Two of the top three positions in America, we have no say in.
It's
we can
nuts.
Only vote for the President, and the President chooses his VP. And then, you know, the Speaker of the House is picked by, you know, their drinking buddies. And that's
right.
Especially the top three positions, we should vote who the fuck we want.
Yeah.
Like, they should be separate tickets, dude.
Yeah.
Not
Senate,
just, hey, I'm going to
leader. And,
yeah. I'm not going to just speaker, pick my drinking buddy. Cause like you said, they're all bought and paid for, these people. Like, there's a reason why they're getting put in these positions, cause they're controllable.
Well, that's why, God willing, you know, I mean, again, if we want to move past this divide, it's really, God willingly, we get that constitutional convention. We could put in the term limits. I think we should have age limits as we spend, you know, what was very aggravating to me, and this is a classic example. I know I told you this earlier in the week, but I want to share with our audience is, you know, I was watching the news and the gentleman who lost the Pennsylvania, I don't know if he was a congressman or senator, Republican, he lost his seat. And very honest question, the reporter goes, so what are you going to do now?
Oh, now, yeah.
You got to think about this. So most people are... should be there to serve. So you came from something. Maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a doctor, maybe you're military, maybe you're a lawyer. Who cares? The sincere and genuine answer would have been like, well, I'm going to go back to teaching. I'm going to go back and do this. I'm going to be... This guy was like, I don't know what I'm going to do now.
Yeah.
I wasn't really planning on losing. I don't know what I'm going to do. What do you mean you don't know what you're going to do? That's such a career politician answer.
Yeah.
Your answer should be like, you know what? I served the people. I'm going to go back and do what I was doing before. It should be that simple. But that shows
that
you the mentality, bro.
Yeah, I think that was the original intention. I don't think our forefathers envisioned that this would be a career. And I think all of us should be weary of career politicians, because the longer you're in whatever situation and you get jaded, and I've experienced this in my life with deployments, with being a cop in South Phoenix. You know, if you fuck around in the mud, your hands are going to get dirty. Can you imagine how nasty DC is? And the longer someone's there, the nastier they're going to be covered in that shit.
And power.
Yeah, that's exactly. Money, power, all this shit that's more addictive than anything in the universe.
Think about the committees, too. I mean, so if you go against me, you're not going to be on this committee, or I'm not going to help. I'm not going to contribute the funds, you know, because the Senate. So if he's... I'm sorry, Mitch McConnell's, he controls the purse of helping other candidates. So
he looks like he carries a purse.
Mitch, honestly, some of these people, I just
where do they find these people, man? The dude looks like a turtle or something.
But
I
love the great state of Kentucky. Absolutely love Kentucky.
Yeah.
Hey, look, my favorite chicken came from there, right? So,
was it fried?
Right. So, but I don't understand why you keep reelecting like some of these crypt keepers. I just don't get
Dude,
it.
Dude, I have an idea.
Move to Kentucky.
The octagon. Run. The octagon. Each candidate's got a fucking fight. I'm tired of these fucking pussies in office. Male or female, I don't give a fuck. You want the seat?
Boom.
Glove up, go in the octagon, man. We'll do some fucking Thunderdome shit, bro.
How about Octagon makes musical chairs, so it's to Metallica songs, and when that music stops, you have to be on that chair. I mean, you could do anything you need to do, but your ass better be on that chair.
Dude, I want to see him fight, dude. I want, because you know, you get some tough motherfuckers in D.C., and it's like, then there'll be some mutual respect. Like, that motherfucker earned that seat, man. Did you see that fight? Yeah, good on you, man. You earned it.
God, Chuckie Schumer takes off his glasses, uses it as a
weapon. Then you get some blue-collar steelworker motherfuckers showing up for office. You know what I mean? Some gorilla, dude. Be like, all right. I concede. the gentleman from Nebraska gets it. Corn-fed motherfucker.
No, but it's true, but that's why. I think the light of hope is we're not as divided as people think. You know, and this is based on conversations you have with your friends and my friends, and like you said, observe. Just go to grocery store. Just go to Disney World. Just go anywhere.
No one gives a fuck.
No one.
And everyone's chilling.
It's really just the voices of these social platforms, big media, big tech.
It's an illusion. It's an illusion to keep us feared out, scared, controlled, paranoid.
It's a form of slavery.
It's not true.
They're trying to enslave us, and it's a mental
digital slavery.
It is.
But when you break from that and you go outside, you walk around your neighborhood, you walk around the store, you go around your workplace, dude, no one gives a fuck. Everyone's doing the same shit.
Think about this. So you look at battle, look at the ER room, look at these places. Like, dude, I need to count on someone here. You don't come to the ER and be like, I'm bleeding from the head. I'm sorry. Are you Republican or Democrat? Yeah,
who'd you vote for? Oh, yeah, I can't help you.
Right.
Yeah,
or
no one gives
you're
a
taking
fuck,
on man. Fire, you know, you're Fallujah. Hey, buddy, you know, who'd you? Come on.
Yeah. Bro, I'm out. Dude. Give me a mag. Who'd you vote for?
Yeah, who'd you vote for? Right.
You getting shit.
Right. Yeah. But that's where the common ground should be around being American and working together to preserve this country for future generations. You know, we're constantly distracted with these issues being presented to us. And it's really just to work us all up. It's like to be hornets, right? Or don't unify over real issues such as laws, economy, growth, education. That's what they want. And it's like, I think we were talking on the phone, and I actually saw a meme this week. It was like, we're the universe, but it's like your example you said with the ants, right?
Yeah, it's true. You know, 100%.
Share that story.
And the one thing, one thing that you can do that works is talk about what you have in common. You know what I'm saying? Like if you see someone in the gym, you talk about working out or, you know what I mean? Don't bring up politics. But the ant thing, I love it. It was if you put like 100 red ants and 100 black ants in a jar, they go about their business. They ignore each other. But when you shake the jar, the red ants think the black ants did it and they'll start fighting. And the black ants think the red ants did it and they start fighting.
Right,
but it's an external force shaking that jar. And I don't know if that's scientifically true. But it made me think, like, that's exactly American society. We're all going about our day until somebody shakes that jar, and that somebody is big tech, the media,
that's right,
politicians, and then we get all, ooh, you know, every time I scroll through a news app, I'm like, ooh, damn, those motherfuckers.
That's where
you know?
We're tired, and we're saying, I don't, you know, so
stop it's shaking ant. The fucking jar.
That's well, it's what, ant versus ant. So instead of the ants getting mad at each other, or we getting mad at each other, we should be mad at the dude who's shaking the jar.
Yeah, come right? out of that jar and bite that motherfucker.
That's what we have to unify, right? So that's
stop reacting that way. But that analogy of the ants, I'm like, that is.
Oh, it's
modern society in general, but
it is
specifically
worldwide,
America. I mean,
though.
It's worldwide for sure. Yeah. But in America, they're especially good at it, man. But yeah, every Australia, every Western society, there's some archaic countries that doesn't affect because they're just ruled under a harsh, you know.
Unfortunately, America has a really bad history of doing this tactically. Like there, you know, there's a history of being very good at this, and we saw this through slavery. So let's deem this race a evil, right?
Yeah,
And you know, they're different. You need separate bathrooms and separate schools. I mean, it's all bullshit.
Well,
right?
Even through the 40s and 50s and 60s, there were still people that were demonizing the black community. But then I know for a fact, my mom's generation, when she started going to school with black people, she's like, dude, they're just people. Like,
right. But
everything we were told about them is not true. And that was that shaking of the jar.
Right. And we've seen it where also in World War II, you know, you had Japanese citizens here where, you know, let's classify them. Let's put them in these camps.
We fucked them over. Yeah, big time.
You know, let's talk Native Americans we could talk about. We could talk about, you know, Chinese and railroads. We could talk about returing soldiers from Vietnam War, right? They were the baby killers, right? It's not the government or the president. It was these
young men.
Especially
with a draft, right?
Right,
exactly. A lot of these dudes didn't even want to go, but then their shit on. Yeah, blame the fucking puppet masters.
It's been happening since probably the first group started to organize in this country. Is again, if someone sees an agenda to gain power or to gain an advantage, they know that, you know, to pit people against each other. So this is nothing new. It's just
don't forget, Americans, our government does this to other countries too. Agencies have been heavily involved in shaking jars of other countries.
No.
So you don't think those same entities would shake the domestic jar as well? Fuck yeah, they will.
No, come on. Are you serious?
I know, crazy, right?
Are you telling me about our alphabet soup friends? This is what they do? Come on.
Nefarious activities. Yeah.
No,
oh, yeah. It's scary, right? Newsflash. You know, what's funny is a lot of people.
On the table. The cake is on the table.
Oh, shit. Someone's at the door. I'll be right back.
I hear the helicopter.
Clark's running his mouth again.
Yep.
Bead window. we have to be smarter than all that, though. Yeah. And that's all Ryan and I are trying to do is spread that message of coming together and to be united and not divided, because it's bullshit. I'm not buying into it, man. I said, when you just go about your everyday, no one gives a fuck, man. Everyone's doing the same thing. And I've seen that around the world in my travels, dude.
People just want to
be happy, take care of their family. For most people, just want to, you know, do their thing.
It's very interesting if you take a person out of it or their personality out of it. If you were to present a piece of paper here of the different policies of, let's say, a Republican candidate, it could have been Trump. And here's policies of maybe Obama, because, again, people loved Obama, people loved Trump. But you didn't know which was which. And if you just read the policies, it's very interesting, because then you get some real honest and genuine opinions. Be like, yeah, I agree with this piece of paper. Oh, but did you know that this was Obama? Yeah. Or do you know it's Trump? And then people are like, whoa.
People get shocked. Well, and that's how politics should be, right? It should just be.
Yes.
This is what, you know what I'm saying?
The policies.
Imagine if that people would vote if they didn't know.
Right.
And they said, this is what you're voting for.
Yeah.
You would be surprised people would vote a certain way because, well, this sounds like it's going to be good for us.
Yeah.
And then you have a name attached to it, and it surprises people, like good or bad, it surprises them.
It's funny because it reminds me a lot of like the days of middle school and high school, the running for class presidents. Like, it was just a popularity contest. I'm going to bring donuts every morning to the school cafeteria.
But that's no different than national politics. The right? same fucking thing. It's a popularity contest. And we've talked about this before. You shouldn't vote for who you like. You should vote
for the policies that will
impact your life. Who do you think
is
going to be best for the country?
Yes.
Even if you don't like, there's plenty of business relationships that happen between two people that hate each other, but they're going to make millions of dollars.
Oh, well, dude, how many times do people do repairs on their house, or maybe build a house, or you know, do something? They hire a contractor, and he'd be the biggest dick in the world.
But he's good at what he does.
He's awesome. He's very good at what he does. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I've worked with a lot of people that I would probably want to choke out, but are they talented? Sure. And do I have to learn to work with them? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's just life. I mean, maybe you have a boss. You know, I've had a general foreman in my past that was an asshole, but fuck, he's the smartest dude I've ever met. Like, this dude can talk to any tradesman about what they're doing, pouring concrete, steel, and he fucking knows. Like, he's just brilliant, but
that's
he's
awesome.
Kind of a dick. But it's like, hey, he's the sergeant major, bro. And in the military, I saw that too. A lot of leadership, they're assholes, but they're fucking toughening you up. Look at Jocko as a leader. It probably sucks to work for Jocko, but guess what? He's getting you fucking ready for combat.
No, but that's where I think you're going back to your point, where it's you shouldn't vote for personalities, or you shouldn't think of anything with someone's personality. You got to look at, again, what are their policies? What are they promising to do? And will it shift the country in the way you believe it? And it doesn't matter. That's just not here in the United States. I think that's just in elections in general. It's like, but again, it's all gone down to this. You know, the media says he's orange man. The media says he's too old. And the media says this. I mean, it's like, come on. Dude, just do the cola challenge. This
what have they done up until that point, too? Like, don't necessarily, they're going to tell you whatever it takes to get elected. But look how they've lived their life. You know what I mean? Have they put their money where their mouth is? Did they really, have they done this? Do they have a skill set that you believe in? Or, you know, that type of stuff is what I look for. Like, who is this motherfucker? Yeah, I think they would be. Dude, the pilot test. You and I were talking about this the other day. If Joe Biden was the pilot for your fucking Southwest flight, would you get on that fucking airplane?
I wouldn't. Does the plane have autopilot?
No.
Then absolutely
and it's
not.
Like it's some World War II fucking airplane that there's no computers. No. There's no, you know, so I mean, then why would we let someone run the country? And I'm just using him as an example. The pilot's test should be for any school board official, your sheriff. Like if this dude was my pilot, do I think he's smart enough to not crash this motherfucker? Then why are we putting idiots of all levels, of all political affiliations in charge of shit?
It's, you know what? Because if they could keep these people that are loyal to the agenda, who want to keep manipulating and dividing us, because again, they're just going to keep regurgitating that agenda and the rhetoric instead of focusing on actually what's good for the country moving us forward. Yeah. That's why these people, they keep around, because they're all aligned. We're all aligned in this group think on the left. We're all aligned on this group think on the right. And we're just going to keep battling and you know, screw the commoner.
Well, because, and I was thinking too, along with what you're saying, like the presidency itself is kind of a distraction, because we focus so much on the president. Well, he's a part-timer, dude. Whoever this guy or gal is, you know, whatever, it's either 4 or 8 years and then they're fucking gone. They can never be president again, but we're so hyper-focused on that. I myself have only voted 3 times for a president, never voted for a congressman, never voted for senator. Most Americans don't. Old school cats like my mom, they fucking vote for everybody. I mean, she votes for fucking everybody, everything. But I realize the president's not the problem. It's the permanent Washington scumbags.
Sure, absolutely.
And most of us don't vote for them. We're just too lazy or we don't care enough. And so they keep getting reelected. Yep. They're there for 30, 40 years. They're the lawmakers, the policymakers, the political trendsetters, the agenda pushers. And that's what's dangerous. That's what we need to get under control. But we're so busy fighting over fucking who's president.
Honestly, maybe we need to start the Good Vibes report card or whatever. It's incredible. Again, it's the only job where you have no accountability. You could basically just go in the shadows for 2 years or X amount of years.
Well, dude, have you even seen the work schedule for Congress? How many times meet and work?
Joke. But like, seriously,
other entity could function like that?
Well, that's what's ridiculous. And also, you could just disappear and then you reappear around election time as long as you're stoking your base with the rhetoric and dividing and then, oh, put me in office again. But no one looks at the scorecards.
Yeah, hey, what have you done?
What did you do?
What did you do your 2 years? Why is it every 2 years? Because as soon as they get elected, they're already focused on their reelection campaign. Like,
see, that's the term limit thing. That's why I believe them.
Yeah,
I honestly do, because again, this whole agenda is wrong. And you and I've said, you know, it'll be interesting with these new batch of dudes going in and dudettes. Will they follow through? I'm keeping an eye on it. And then,
Or are they allowed to though?
Well, that's what.
Look at Tulsi got shut the fuck down because she was going against the current. So we have all these high hope guys going in there, a lot of military veterans, but bro, you're a new guy in a new world, man. They could just shut you the fuck down. Who the fuck are you?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, and maybe I'm being too optimistic, but I'm really counting on these military guys, because this is the fight. Now, either they're going to really fight the fight, or they're basically going to fall to their knees to this agenda. So
even get shut out.
Well, but at least,
you know, thank you for your service. Shut the fuck up is what Congress is going to tell them.
But they have a voice,
you know?
Though. They could go back to the media and be like, listen, I was elected. I came. We're trying to do these things. Here's where we're getting blocked. And here's the problem. And this is what we need to do to fix it. At least communicate it, right?
They can go to the media. But then how much of the media is going to cooperate with a rogue congressman versus the deep state who funds the media? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just look at what happened to Tulsi Gabbard. she got shut the fuck down to the point where she's on Fox News now trying to, you know, talk her shit, which, okay, you're talking to, let's just say, half the country, theoretically, you know. It's just, unless these military veterans form a task force caucus where they come together in numbers, like the squad or whatever, they form their own fucking the fire team or whatever the veterans are going to do. If they come together, problem with Tulsi was she was a lone wolf. If the veterans come together, both sides of the aisle, the military veterans say, hey, we fought for this country. We fought for the people and we're doing it now. Enough of this shit. So I don't know how many veterans are in the Senate and Congress put together, but let's say there's 50 of them. That's a powerful force. That's your little fire team.
They do have some PACs. I mean, again, I don't know what their agenda is for some of these PACs.
They need to be a little rowdy, though. You know, like you're saying, they need to make some demands.
You know, you're a bar brawler for a reason. You know, these guys. Yeah. I hope they realize that why people voted for them. And the big thing was the military. You know, if you're Eli and you're a former SEAL and you're this entrepreneur, then people are putting you in there for those values.
And your experience of
taking a fight and correcting
things. Not afraid
things.
To fight, yeah.
Yeah, so I really hope they understand that, because if not, then the interesting thing is we're going to see how bad, it's not necessarily a swamp, right? It's quicksand. So you're either going to get sucked into it, or you basically figure out a way where you don't get sucked into it. So that's what we should all be observing. Because also, too, we've also seen some of these military cats, they've started to make a career out of it. You know, I'm not going to drop any names or anything, but there's, you know, again.
Rhymes with Ben Shaw?
You know, I just want to see people just say, listen, do what you say what you do.
Yeah. And don't turn it into a career. Don't become a part of that. And I can only imagine, because we're two normal dudes from the outside looking in, but you just have to not get chewed up by that machine somehow, you know. And these veterans somehow kind of survived and thrived in the military machine. So maybe the political machine, they have a fighting chance. Like, they're not scared to fight. Back to the octagon, bro.
Dude, I mean, I love the octagon.
I just want to see Congress just have a battle royale brawl. Sometimes it does. Have you ever seen that shit on the news? Like
in Parliament or
the
something?
Parliament in Indonesia, dude. They're fucking beating each other with pipes and shit.
That's old school, man. But like you and I said, man, our Congress and Senate, it's just WWF. It's the fake punch, and then they go have like state senator.
Then they're gonna go to and most of them are too old to even fight. Fucking geezers, get rid of the defund the geezers.
No, but they could do old man crop dusting, and that's very powerful.
You know how many farts go on with them old fuckers pooping their pants and shit in Congress, man?
Dude, that's why they got so many aides, right? You gotta have someone have some clean drawers ready for you, dude, ready to go.
Didn't Biden shit himself in Japan or something? Remember they had to switch suits and shit?
Dude, he shit himself, but not only that, he farted in front of the queen. I mean,
yeah, it was audible. He's been caught a couple times on microphone.
I get it,
farting,
man. When you get old,
dude,
like
I'm 49 and I fart. I sneeze fart. I cough fart. Sometimes I just fart.
Yeah, so he's 80. So
he's twice my age.
Sneeze farts. I mean,
his butthole control is long. That ship sailed a long time ago.
Yeah, the quivery colon. I mean, he can't help it at this point. So. But I like it. There's no shame in it. It's just like, yeah, I'm an old
presidential
dude,
gape.
Yeah. Oh shit. God. Oh man. Well, Tribe, we kind of hope you look through a lens of unity this Thanksgiving. We all have that relative, the aunt, uncle, whatever, who likes to rile the table up. You know, try to exercise this holiday. See if you could bring people to a common ground. And the common ground, again, it's about we the people, and we're all Americans, and that should be the foundation. And let's figure out where we could go from there, right, Clark?
Absolutely, man. I agree 100%. Still thinking about the presidential gate. My brain is stuck, dude.
I'm only laughing because to our listeners, Clark put up this softball size gape on the screen. It was epic.
Bigger than a challenge coin.
Oh gosh. On that note, Vibe Tribe, we're wishing you a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Obviously we'll have our Thanksgiving debrief next Sunday. So again, eat up, enjoy, and we're wishing you the best. Clark, as always, I love you, buddy.
Love you too, brother. Love you, Tribe.